Our first reading comes from 2 Peter 3:1 through 7. That's on page 237 in the New Testament Pew Bible, or it'll be on the screen behind me. In this letter, we're reminded that we should not forget how God has foretold his grace and love and judgment that has been part of our reality since creation. God does remember us at all times, but he also requires that we obey him. Let's read 2 Peter 3:1 through 7. This is now, beloved, the second letter I'm writing to you. In them, I'm trying to arouse your sincere intention by reminding you that you should remember the words spoken in the past by the holy prophets and the commandment of the Lord and Savior spoken through your apostles. First of all, you must understand this, that in the last days scoffers will come, scoffing and indulging their own lusts and saying, "Where is the promise of his coming? For ever since our ancestors died, all things continue as they were from the beginning of creation." They deliberately ignore this fact, that by the word of God, heavens existed long ago, and earth was formed out of water and by means of water, through which the world at that time was deluged with water and perished. But by the same word, the present heavens and earth have been reserved for fire, being kept until the day of judgment and destruction of the godless. Here ends the first scripture reading.
Thanks. I do need to share a story with you about one of our programs. Some of you and most of you know about the well that we have had in place now for the last, I guess, 3 years now. I've seen it as a crucial place of hospitality and welcome where in the community, at least, pretty much every single demographic group represented in our community, and I don't mean just our church, but within our community, uses the well. We have social servants, the mailman who takes a break in there during very hot days and just kind of relaxes for a little bit of time before he goes on to do his work. We have teens at risk who go and use that place as well quite frequently and find a place, an oasis for them, an oasis in the middle of the borough where normally they aren't able to find in the storms of their lives. We have the women's group, executive committee of the Strasbourg Women's Group, who meets in there before the women's group gathers. We have kids doing homework. We have moms doing homeschool in there. We have our own members who gather Sunday. Anyway, that place has become and continues to be a place of gathering, a vital, crucial part of our ministry. For the first time in its history, in this 3 years' history, the first 6 months of 2015, the well has been operating at a loss. Drum roll. It's the first time that's ever happened. It has been self-sufficient all the way up to this point. Now, the income that we're getting at the well is pretty much the same that we've been getting throughout these 3 years, and that hasn't changed. So what has changed? The number of people who have been using it, and the number of people who have been using it who aren't able to see that donation box. It's pretty small, and it's hard to fit, you know, $100 bills in that small spot there. So the income is the same. The outflow has increased quite tremendously. So we talked about it the last session meeting, and we discussed about, you know, what is our purpose of the well, and we decided, you know, we're going to put a budget on the well so that we don't just keep filling up whatever we put out. So we're going to have a particular budget, which in essence, really creates a necessity to also limit the ministry in some way, as far as how much we're able to provide to the community is going to be within certain parameters, which hasn't been the case up to now. So I need to tell you, when I came home from session Wednesday evening, in my mind was going that question, Lord, you have always shown me that if a ministry is of you, then you provide the needs. So what's going on? Right? Have you forgotten that this ministry was something that we felt really called to be a part of? So why are the needs not being met? As I have seen throughout my ministry, needs being met anytime that it is of God. So Thursday morning, and this is not a lie, this is true. Thursday morning, the first phone call I get, so this is after our discussion at session, is from the presbytery office. A random phone call, and a woman from the presbytery office, I've never had a phone call like this before, said, the presbytery has money that it's looking to give away. Any of you have phone calls like that? The presbytery has money that it's looking to give away for projects that are worthy of expanding and growing. And so this past week, I've been working, putting together a grant. But as I was writing this grant this past week, you know what kept going on in my mind is that Wednesday evening when I said, Lord, where are you? Have you forgotten us? Have you forgotten the well? And then that phone call comes almost as a direct response to my question, no, Bob, of course I haven't forgotten the well. Of course I haven't forgotten First Presbyterian Church. Of course I haven't forgotten you. And it was a reminder again of just how God remembers us. And it's a small, silly example. It's a small example that I don't think is so silly, because anytime God is involved, there's nothing silly about it. It can be pretty powerful. We continue on in Genesis. And last week we saw that Noah was given the commandment to build an ark, and he obediently did. And because of God's obedience, because of Noah's obedience rather, God is able to save all of humanity. And this week, we find, as the weather clears in our own Lancaster County, we find ourselves with the weather clearing, right? We find ourselves in Genesis chapter 7 with all of his family and all of creation and the kitchen sink literally in the ark. It's starting to get old in there, though. They've been there for 150 days. It's time for a change. And probably Noah and his family and probably the elephants and the giraffes were wondering if God had forgotten us. We've been on this maybe God-forsaken boat, maybe, for a long time now. But what Scripture tells us is no, God didn't forget them. God remembered them. And we discover, I hope again today, what we mean when we say that God never forgets. God never forgets us and will always remember us. Now, most of you probably are going to leave disappointed today. This is a spoiler alert, just so that you're aware. You're going to leave disappointed because you want me to talk about the Supreme Court decision. I'm not going to do that. Sorry. You know where I stand. You know what Session has said. And I want to thank whoever it was who set up those posters around the church about hunger. If you haven't noticed them, as you make your way back to Fellowship Hall, you will. And the reason why I want to thank that person is because it forces us to focus on that which Jesus spoke about more than anything else. He doesn't address what was in the headlines over these last couple days. He never addressed that. But hunger, he addresses more than anything else. Poverty, he addresses more than anything else. And I challenge any church who finds itself up to its eyeballs in dealing with the issue that the Supreme Court has dealt with, I challenge any church who deals with that day in and day out to give the kind of attention that we're able to give here at this church in ministry and mission that reaches out to the poorest of the poor. $10,000, I think, One Great Hour Sharing this year, we collected. Whoa. Blanket offering, I think 8,000. Nepal's up to 4,000 or 5,000. Mission trips going off. You can't do those things if you focus, if you spend all your time and all your energy on what has just taken place over these last. So I'm not going to address it. Sorry, I just did. But I'm not going to address it. That's all you're going to hear about it on this Sunday morning. And I want to make sure that we do address the hungry and those in need, because they are the forgotten ones. Not by God, but the ones that we forget so often. So thank you for reminding us of what we need to remember, for reminding us what is the most important thing as we go through our lives as Christians. Jesus did say, "You will have the poor with you always." And the reason he said that is because we tend to forget that. We tend to forget that. Let's go ahead and read Genesis chapter 7. We're going to be straddling two different chapters. Genesis chapter 7, verses 17 through Genesis chapter 8, verse 5. So Genesis 17 through 8, 5. They're all on the ark, and we find that the flood continued 40 days on the earth, and the waters increased and bore up the ark, and it rose high above the earth. The waters swelled and increased greatly on the earth, and the ark floated on the face of the waters. The waters swelled so mightily on the earth that all the high mountains under the whole heaven were covered. The waters swelled above the mountains, covering them 15 cubits deep. All flesh died that moved on the earth, birds, domestic animals, wild animals, all swarming creatures that swarm on the earth, and all human beings. Everything, verse 27, everything on dry land in whose nostrils was the breath of life died. God blotted out every living thing that was on the face of the ground. Human beings and animals and creeping things and birds of the air, they were blotted out from the earth. Only Noah was left, and those that were with him in the ark. And the waters swelled on the earth for 150 days. Verse 1 of chapter 8. But God remembered Noah. And he remembered all the wild animals and all the domestic animals that were with him in the ark. And then God made a wind blow over the earth, and the water subsided. The fountains of the deep and the windows of the heavens were closed, and the rain from the heavens was restrained. And the waters gradually receded from the earth, and at the end of 150 days, the waters had abated. And in the seventh month, on the 17th day of the month, the ark came to rest on the mountains of Ararat. The waters continued to abate until the 10th month, and in the 10th month, on the first day of the month, the tops of the mountains appeared. This is the word of the Lord. Let us pray. Loving God, we do ask you now that the words of my mouth and the meditation of all of our hearts would be worthy and acceptable in your sight. For you are our rock and our redeemer. Amen. In 1998, I had an experience that I will never, ever forget. I was a pastor in Italy near Salerno. Some of you know the history of World War II. The Allies landed in Salerno after they had landed in Sicily to come up the boot of Italy. We were pastors in Salerno, and we were in our last couple months there getting ready to move back to the United States with a child that was about to be born and a two-year-old. We were about to move back to Florida when it started raining. And it rained, and it rained, and it rained. It rained so much that the rains came down and the number of hillsides decided to come down from their perch. Now that whole region is covered with mountains and hills. The mud avalanche that followed as a result of all those rains had no respect for the fact that there was a village below that had been there for hundreds of years. The village was completely wiped off the face of the earth. And since we were the only Protestant presence in that area, then all those organizations, all those Protestant organizations, used us as the focal point to bring relief. So Church World Service and Presbyterian Disaster Assistance and others worked through the organization that was set up, along with the Catholic Church that had set up an organizational system there as well. But being the only pastoral Protestant pastoral presence there, they took me in a helicopter up over the site, and we do you fly in a helicopter? Yeah, I guess you fly. We flew over this region that 10 to 20 feet of mud was covering what used to be a village. And we landed and we started walking out there. There were people with poles still looking for bodies and dogs there as well. There was no longer a village. It was, you could not tell. Except further down the mountain, you could see some debris that had been carried down as the village had been swept down as well. It had been absorbed by the mountain, as if the mountain had reclaimed its space. The village had completely been wiped off the face of the earth. I considered it a type of natural amnesia whereby anyone walking there, including myself, would never know that there was a village here at one time. You never would have known that people were living in the exact spot where I was walking. Today in Genesis, we find ourselves in a somewhat similar situation where the floodwaters are covering the earth. Noah is the only one alive. Noah and his family and all the animals that find themselves in the ark, they are the only living beings. In fact, Scripture is very clear when it says, everything that has the breath, that had the breath of life. What does that make you think of if not Genesis chapter 2, where God breathes into Adam the breath of life? All that which was made in the image of God was destroyed. That's a pretty powerful moment in Scripture. Probably one of the most powerful moments that we have in all of Scripture. Everything is wiped out. There is nothing remaining. The most complete natural amnesia the earth has ever seen just took place. The evil, the wickedness, the immorality, the disobedience that at one time was a part of the earth is no longer present. So did God forget the earth? Had God forgotten his people? The destruction was complete, and today in history when we face a tragedy or when we face a situation in our lives that is unsettling or that rocks us to the core, maybe one of our first questions is, God, where are you? Or, God, have you forgotten me? We're in good company because someone we know very well asked that same question. Remember Jesus when he was on the cross, the most agonizing time of his life, calls out, my God, why have you forsaken me? Now Noah and his family are bobbing away on the water, and Scripture states it rained for 40 days, but then the waters remained for 150 days. And maybe when they first got into the ark, it was fun, it was exciting. Wow, look at all these exotic animals. But then as days led to weeks, and weeks led to months, and months led to more months, it probably was less exciting. I don't know, have any of you ever taken a cross-country trip? Growing up as kids, we used to do that quite a few times, actually. One trip we took, there were six of us in a Volkswagen van. And remember, we're all 6 foot and taller. And we had our dog as well, a big white lab that used to love and lie down in the back and stick his nose out the window. And we took a cross-country trip, the six of us and the dog, from Atlantic City, New Jersey, to Vancouver, British Columbia. That's a long way. It was fun for the first couple hours. It took us 10 days to get there and 3 days to get back. So you know we were pressing. We also took a trip with four of us in a Dodge Aspen station wagon. No dog. But four of us from Atlantic City again to Tegucigalpa, Honduras. And that was fun the whole time and quite scary as well in many different ways. But we found ourselves throughout those trips, near the end of the trip, thinking, why are we doing this? What is the purpose of this? I'm wondering what Noah and his family was thinking after 150 days. This was fun when it started, but maybe not so much now. There may have even been sense of, when is this going to end? And has God remembered us, or has he forgotten us? How is this going to come to an end? How will we know that things are going to turn out the way that we want it to turn out? Maybe there was also a sense of loneliness, of being forgotten. And being forgotten is one of the most painful feelings that you can ever have. And the same can be also said also in churches of being forgotten. I know we have people sometimes who miss 2 or 3 weeks in church because they've been sick or they've been ill. And we don't necessarily reach out to them. And so after those 3 weeks, there could be thoughts that come up that say, they don't even know that I'm gone. They didn't even miss me. Why should I come back? What's the point? What's the use? It's a logical, easy step. Our job, again, is to remind people that you are not forgotten, that you are valuable and important. But what happens smack in the middle of our text? Look at Genesis chapter 8, verse 1. In the midst of Noah and his family bobbing away on the waters and wondering, when is this going to end? Wondering, has God forgotten us? Verse 1 tells us, but God remembered Noah. Just think about that term. And you can replace Noah with your name if you like. Think about what that means. Because it's that verse that sets us and sets all of creation free and gives us hope that maybe we didn't have before we're reminded that God remembers us. How many of us need to hear today that God has remembered us? How many of us can only rely on God's memory for our very survival? We need to hear that God remembers Bob, and God remembers Kay, and Mary Lou, and Jim, and Ray, and y'all are looking down. You don't want me to say your name, but you can put your name in there as well. That's what the scripture tells us. And from then on, if you notice, the story only gets better. The destruction's finished, it's over, it's complete. Things start to only get better. And what we see is God blows on the waters and the waters subside. So the Holy Spirit moves over the waters. The mountains start to appear again. Just like we're able to remember that God remembers and we see those mountaintops again. We cannot be ultimately forgotten, for with God we are eternally known. And we find that all through Scripture, those words repeated, God remembers. And in Hebrew, it's yazakar. When God remembers, people are saved. When we look at our second Peter scripture, our second scripture for today, it begins in verse 1, again, with the phrase, I want to remind you. So no longer is it focusing on the fact that God remembers, but it also reminds us that we forget. As I mentioned earlier, how quickly we forget when things don't seem to work out in exactly the way that we had planned. Well, maybe the Lord has forgotten me. Second Peter tells us that the one who constantly forgets is not God, but oftentimes it's us. We're the ones who suffer from that terrible short-term memory loss where we have to be reminded time and time again all that God has done for us. And maybe you've seen it in your own lives. And I know I have seen that whatever the church is involved in that is blessed by God, it never runs short on finances. It never runs short in enthusiasm. It never runs short on people who are willing to be involved. When God remembers, and God always remembers, people are saved and people are energized and people get involved. So God remembered Noah, and the floodwaters abated. Brothers and sisters, fellow sinners, rejoice, because the good news of the gospel that we find here in Genesis is that God remembered Noah, and so we can be assured that we are remembered even when the floodwaters are crashing in around us in our lives. You know, Jesus' blood that was shed upon the cross serves for us as the floodwaters serve for the earth in the Noah story. His blood washed us clean and saved us and allowed God to forget our sins and to remember that we are His children and the sheep of His pasture, and that He created us in His image to begin with. And the blood of Jesus is stronger than any flood water, just like the resurrection of Christ is stronger than death. You'll see a notepad in the middle of each pew. When we have our prayers of the people today, what I want to encourage you to do now, during the hymn, if you can sing and write at the same, I just want you to remember, because Scripture tells us we're the ones who forget. I want you to remember a time, and you can write it down if you like. You don't have to do it. You can just do it in your mind if you don't want to write it down. I want you to remember a time that you know God remembered you, a time that you know that God remembered you. And then in the prayers of the people, we're just going to allow you a chance to share that if you would like. No one has to. But if you'd like to share that, you are welcome to share that with everyone. God's memory is for us the last ground of hope in the realm as death approaches. And we can be assured that God remembers us, and so we know that God will deliver us. May God bless and keep us as we remember His presence in our lives. Amen. Loving God, we do come before You today. And we know and we recognize that, or at least now we were reminded, that You never forget us. But Lord, You know our lives and how they are intricately woven of crisis and joys and celebrations and times of loneliness and fear. And in all those times, Lord, it's so easy to think that we are an island alone, living by ourselves and fighting this life by ourselves. God, help us to see verse 1 of chapter 8 as our calling verse, that You remember us. You remember us as individuals. You remember us as a church, Lord God. You remember us as a collective group of people who happen to make up these United States. God, You remember us in this world that You created. And we give You thanks for that. And as we go about our lives, don't let us be those who speak in such a way as if You have forgotten us. Don't let us be like those who act in such a way as if nothing matters except our own lives. Remind us again, Lord, of whom You love the most, of whom You talked about the most, those who are on the margins, those who are forgotten by us, the poor and the powerless. Help us as a church to continue our ministry by giving, by sacrificing, by living our lives as an example of how You want us to live. We pray this now in Jesus' holy name. Amen.